Can we start the podcast with a slurp?
It's a great idea.
This is the sound of cacao. But what is this podcast?
This is the Cacao with Prana More podcast. What a great way to start. Welcome to Cacao with Prana More, the premier podcast of Prana More, the duo of Fern Olivia and Maxime Marlowe.
Welcome.
We are so excited to finally be sharing all these intimate details in this podcast that we've started today as this inaugural episode at our house on Fairyland, our house that we've been building for about 2 years.
So I think a good way would be to start talking about why. Does the world need another podcast?
Ooh, why does the world need another podcast? Well, what's coming through the two of us is something that's so unique and so fun and so different. We're about to give you the intimate conversations that you've been probably wondering about. Many of these things, they're topics and questions that we talk about all the time. And, you know, always say, wow, we should have recorded that. That was so inspiring and so empowering. So yes, the world needs another podcast, which is this one.
I think many people have interesting perspectives to share and interesting things to talk about. And I think it's just a good reminder and encouragement also to maybe for more people to share things.
For more people to share and to be expressed, that's part of both of our missions, right? Both of us are musicians and creatives. And
yeah, I mean, on top of that, we have a, like, not a quote-unquote, not really normal life story and journey, so that makes it a probably even more interesting. But still, you know, I think just listening and hearing different perspectives from different people that have made many different experiences is just a very interesting thing.
Wait, we're not normal? We don't have a normal life?
No one is normal.
No one is normal. Okay, newsflash.
I think we're all weird. I'm very weird.
Yeah, you're very weird.
And you too.
I'm so, so weird. And our life, yeah, you're right. I mean, we live in the jungle here in Costa Rica and, you know, in our bubble, in our spiritual community, it seems like we're pretty normal because everyone's doing what we're doing, you know, building off grid.
Everyone's weird.
Everyone's weird, you know, pretty much naked all the time. And
that's not true for me.
I mean, right now you're naked. You're wearing...
Because it's hot.
You know.
Okay. We decided to not film this. We actually, even before coming to here do the setup, we decided to not film the first episodes just to make it easy for us to finally get started. But so to give you a picture, that's actually a good idea. We are sitting here in the second level, the soon-to-be bedroom of our house that we are still building right now. And we are sitting here on the top level on some yoga mats and a blanket. And I'm here just in my underwear.
Very sexy.
So because it's a pretty hot day and we don't have a fan yet, we don't have... any electric things going on right now. So that's the picture. So picture us in a beautiful A-frame house in the middle of the jungle, me in my black underwear. Usually it's colored, but today
sexy,
it's just black.
Sexy naked body, a little bit of sweat, and your pretty naked partner next to you.
Yes.
Also, yes, feeling so happy that we finally chose this spot to record our episode and the following episodes of our podcast.
Yeah, same. It's probably meant to be. So... just as a kind of like a backstory, we have had many, many conversations, the two of us, while we were sitting at a home, in our current home, on the porch or having our smoothie bowl, or having dinner, and we had conversations for like, let's say an hour, something like that, about all different kind of topics, and it happened several times to us. We went into just deep conversations about different things, about like abundance, about purpose, about life, about our stories, about even each getting to know each other more and our stories and our thoughts and perspectives. And then every single time we said, wow, this would have been such an amazing podcast. Why didn't we record this? And of course, we didn't record it because we didn't attempt to do a podcast that time. But now we
wanted
do.
To, yeah.
Now
there's
we
a, we at the place we rent. There's also a rooster, so this rooster is constantly making rooster sounds, and it's very challenging over there to record things. So we had to wait, and now we have accumulated so many interesting topics that who knows what we'll share? It all happens spontaneously in the moment, pretty much.
Yeah, so that is the introduction into the podcast, and purposely not just telling you the whole story of who we are and what we did and all this stuff, because to be honest, like, who really cares?
If you really care, you can come to Costa Rica on a retreat with us and live a life with us, and yeah, you'll definitely hear the story and
how it goes into details. It's going to be more organically,
yeah.
And
woven.
You can also decide to stalk us a little bit before, but we will share more.
You
about
can stalk us, yes. You us. Can, yeah, you can stalk us on Instagram, but not really.
No, not really.
No, not really. Please. The intimate details, actually, we don't even share in all those places, which is purposely why the podcast is going to be so interesting and intriguing, because the things that we talk about here, I mean, it's beyond what you see in
oh,
right?
Now you make it sound exclusive.
It is
very
exclusive.
Exciting, like you want to sell something.
What I want to sell is empowering people to live their most expressed life, and that's always been my mission.
Awesome.
But I've got to live it.
The podcast is free.
The podcast
there's nothing
is,
to sell.
There's nothing to sell.
It's just for fun.
And the best part about this is we don't know what we're going to share. So it's, you know, up to spirit.
We don't have to know.
We don't have to know. That's the best part. It makes it so fun for us. So here we go.
Yeah, that's the intro. And okay, you heard the slurp between the cacao and some of you...
The slurp of cacao, is that what you said?
Yes. Maybe some slurp. Of you don't even know what cacao is or what they mean by what cacao slurp. Can you slurp chocolate? Is cacao chocolate? Mm-hmm. So we are sitting probably 200 meters away from cacao trees. Cacao trees grow on our land, and cacao trees produce cacao pods. And cacao pods, they have cacao beans. And cacao beans are being used to make...
Chocolate
and cacao powder. Mm-hmm. And what you know as a chocolate bar when you go in your local supermarket has these cacao beans from the cacao pods from the cacao trees.
And we
just
have...
very processed and lots of stuff added that you maybe don't want to eat.
We have over 17 of these trees on our land that one time Maxime actually made a batch of cacao that we drank in a cacao ceremony here in Costa Rica.
So you want to share about cacao? What is cacao?
Cacao is a beautiful medicine, they call it, because it actually activates your heart and has so many different minerals and nutritious benefits to this substance. And it's actually a fruit. It's categorized as a fruit. And you can drink it. You can consume it as a bar. You can create different recipes. You can add it to your cakes. I mean, it's basically chocolate.
Yeah, so we're talking about raw cacao.
Raw cacao,
and which is the base to make any kind of chocolate product. And the better it is, the more cacao and the more real raw cacao it has, and the less sugar and other things. But so to speak, cacao is traditionally being used in many South American countries. Oh, by the way, we are in Costa Rica. We should write that down somewhere. Did you say it before?
I think I said it, yeah.
Okay, in many South American countries, it's used traditionally for different purposes. Here in Costa Rica, and where we are on the Caribbean side, we have a tribe called the Bribri, and they've been using cacao for many, many hundreds of years, traditionally, for different sacred purposes and gatherings.
And ceremonially, the Bribri drink the cacao for birth, death, when a woman receives her first moon cycle or menstrual cycle, and weddings. And ceremoniously, when they drink cacao, they have many rituals with that tradition, and they've passed on these ceremonies to the modern world to have as a ritual to come more connected and present with the land, with the earth, with whoever you are drinking with. It can be in celebration, it can be as a moment of connection. And what's so interesting is that the day that Maxime and I met, our very first date on July 24th, 2022, we were talking over the voice message. He was coming to Puerto Viejo for the first time, and he heard this voice talking to him on his message. And he was intrigued. And I said, hey, let's meet and have cacao and share cacao and then go to a song circle with friends. And so cacao has been a very special ritual ever since we met.
Yeah, that's one example how cacao can bring people together. And so in different traditions, they use cacao for different purposes. And many, many people we know and also we ourselves, we host cacao ceremonies where we play music and
sing,
bring people
and
together
dance.
And sing, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful drink. So that's why we decided, hey, what's going to be the name of our podcast? Let's call it Cacao with Pranamor. And Pranamor is the name of the duo of us, because we also do events and we play music, and that's our name. It's Pranamor. So Cacao with Pranamor, Cacao with Fern and Maxime. And so we are sitting here, and we are not only half naked on a half built house, we also have cacao with us. Today is ice because it's very refreshing and very hot here.
It's ice. So it's cold.
That's the thing. We thought, okay, let's make a podcast, drink cacao, and talk about things. So welcome to
yes, welcome. We're so happy that you're here. So last night we sat up on this house, this loft where we're going to soon be sleeping, and we connected with the land, and we felt such this beautiful energy around us, and that's something that we're so excited to share with you on the podcast is, you know, our connection to land, to earth, to building a house in Costa Rica, to, you know, getting even more connected with our life purpose and simplicity, coming into a life that you feel grounded and you feel connected within yourself, you feel home. These are some of the topics we'll be talking about. Let's see what comes through today. Okay, sweetie, so yesterday you posted a video on YouTube. It was so interesting, so amazing.
Yeah, so I did post a video on YouTube, and the title is The Goal Trap. Mm. And the rest of the title I forgot. But the first part is The Goal Trap, and it was all about setting goals versus the kind of tricky thing of really finding out and knowing which goals are actually good for you to set in the first place and which not. And also talking about the pursuit versus the goal. Mm. So in essence, I can say, for example, it was never my goal to move to Costa Rica. And here I am. And I'm happy about it.
I am too. I am so happy about that.
Yeah. So I think, so part of what I was talking in the video about was that the question at the beginning would be, what is more important? It's the journey and the pursuit versus the actual goal. What is more meaningful? And then my conclusion in the video was, it's actually the journey. It goes back to the cheesy saying of, yeah, the destination is the goal, kind of. So because one example is, for many goals that you set yourself, it might not even be very realistically that you're actually going to reach them. And it's fine. And sometimes also goals might change.
And there's plot twists. There's plot twists. The universe has the opportunity to come in there and say, you know what? That goal was not your highest alignment. There's something else that's got to come in there. But then if we're so laser focused on that goal, we miss the journey, we miss the ride, we miss those fun things that the universe wants to, or God, source, spirit wants to go in and include in our life to make life more fun, to make life more exciting.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I have an idea.
Okay.
So let's just say how your life would have looked like if you've been following your goals and path. And I can tell you how my life would have looked like if I, not right now.
Where should I start?
I followed my goals and paths.
Should I start about the corner office on Wall Street when I worked on Wall Street and I wanted to work in it?
You can start by I would live.
You know, and no idea what the jungle life was like, because I would have just been, you know, working on the next promotion. I would have been, you know, the rat race of Wall Street. So
my life would look like I would be in Berlin, in Germany, and I would have my startup life full on mode. I would be sitting in my flat in a 4-story building, old building, and working, and then eventually going out in some park, meet some friends, go to some startup event, and full on big city life. And I would just repeat that over 7 days, every day.
Sounds so boring. Now you get to be in the jungle, go to the beach, and, you know, meet your friends at a bonfire.
Okay, so to sum it up, what we are talking about is that actually I'm happy to be here right now. I'm really happy. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy journey. And also the whole transition wasn't easy, but I'm still really happy. And my goals were completely different. I was on a track. I was on a track, not a career track like you in terms of the corporate career. I was more the startup guy and already working for myself. But still, I had my life set in Berlin. I had my flat there. I had a little cute electric car. I had my work. I have even had a physical business, another company there with a few employees. And I was really on track. The life was set. I could still do that. I could probably do that for the next like 30, 40 years. And my goal was, I think my goal was that, to build up business, live there, you know, have this set life with all the things that people have when they live in Berlin and when they live a good life. And yeah, that was my goal and I didn't even question it. And it came from a whole different motivation, but that's a deeper topic for...
And isn't it interesting that now, who knew your goal would be to finish building on this beautiful house in the middle of the jungle and the forest, surrounded by trees, creating a gym in the jungle, a jungle gym at on the land, recording studio, to be growing your own food, to have cacao trees and banana trees and these rare jungle fruits and vegetables and medicinal herbs. I mean, if you had stayed so set on that track, you could have missed this whole life that's so much more fulfilling, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think essentially it comes back to the question of what you really want to experience or what your soul wants to experience from a more spiritual level, because some people, they are totally fine missing out on this, and it's fine. But speaking for myself, I am more happy here. I know many people, they wouldn't.
Oh, true.
I'm not saying that this is, okay, oh, come here and this is your dream life. No, it's not true. Probably.
Not true. We've met many people where the jungle feels really intense, so it's not saying that, you know, you need to pack up your bags right now and migrate onward to, you know, the rustic living outside the city. But there is this self-inquiry that we're, you know, empowering you to make after this episode, is really to sit down with yourself in meditation or introspection, journaling, ceremony, and ask yourself, what are the goals that I've been having that really aren't aligned with me anymore, that aren't really my goals? Or where have I been preventing the universe to actually come in and give me the nudge in that direction? I maybe haven't been listening. Like, for example, when I lived in California, in LA, and I was given the opportunity to come to Costa Rica and do a house swap and live a month in the jungle, I was living in LA, this was after Wall Street Times, and I had all my yoga clients and my Reiki clients, and I was doing events, and I had this amazing community of high vibrational people. I was happy. I was very happy there. And I had a TV show I was filming. I had these big goals and dreams. And so when I was given the opportunity to live a month in Costa Rica, I immediately said, no, I'm set. I've got this and this and this happening. And there was a moment inside that I listened to spirit and I listened to something deeper than my own ego of goal. And then I said, yes. And wow. That was the best decision of my life, because then my goals shifted and I got to really experience my true self and my true nature outside what I thought I needed to do in order to be successful.
I think it's a really good question. It's very good to ask yourself frequently, kind of like review your goals. And sometimes you may not even have set goals for whatever you are doing. Like, you have this job and you're on this track and you didn't even, like, you never even set it as a goal in the first place. But even if you did, I found some really good questions after years and years of, you know, setting goals and achieving goals. And what is your goal in the first place? What's your goal with setting goals? It's probably overall that you feel happy and fulfilled, because that's what you want in the first place, right? So I think what I found is really helpful for me now, if I set new goals or even reviewing old goals, is when we come back to the first question, what's more important, what's more meaningful, is it the journey or is it the actual reaching the goal? And I say it's probably the journey, because the journey takes a lot of time depending on the goal. It's a lot of hours of your day, of your life, a lot of energy, a lot of things that you do over and over again to eventually achieve a goal or get, like, you know, have a house completed or, you know, run that marathon or do different kind of things.
Or get that relationship. This is a big one, because I coach a lot of women in becoming the most magnetic, radiant version of themselves to attract divine love and to attract partnership, right? But they're so focused on, I want to be with that person. I want to be with that person. And that, for example, is such a beautiful journey to become that version of yourself that then is in that union, right?
So what I found is some guiding questions whenever I set a new goal for myself. First, I ask myself, okay, this is the goal I have in mind. For whatever reason, I think I want to achieve this. I think that's a good goal for me. Second question I ask myself is, what does it need to get there? What do I need to do? What actions do I have to put in? What do I need to do to achieve the goal? And then the next question would be, whatever the answer is, do I love doing that? Do I really love doing it? Do I enjoy doing it? To make sure the journey is already fun, like to make sure I'm not just chasing something that I hope gives me meaning and purpose and happiness, but to already be happy while I'm on the journey doing it. Because then, you know what, the secret trick is that the actual goal is not really so important anymore. It doesn't really matter if you actually achieve that goal or if, as we said in the beginning, you go maybe change and you have a plot twist and suddenly you live in Costa Rica. It doesn't really matter if you achieve your goal that you envisioned in the first place, if you really love the journey and that already brings you meaning and happiness and joy.
And then along the way, you may find that you have found this new version of yourself that doesn't even resonate with the original goal in the first place, where you found that maybe you were trying to get somewhere specific within your passion project and you were creating this brand or this identity. And along the journey, you found that you actually resonate with something completely different, or you're looking for this match, this union, this relationship. And along the way, you notice, wow, that's not the kind of person I want to be with. And you fall in love with a different version of yourself that is even more magnetic than you would have if you just instantly manifested a person while you set that goal. Because a lot of the times you set a goal and you're maybe not in that most highly aligned version of yourself yet. And that's a trap that I think many people fall into with manifestation, is they want it instantly. They want to snap the finger, write down the goal, have a full moon, new moon ceremony of some sort, and say, okay, tomorrow I want this changed in my life. And what happens if we ditch, not the goal, but we ditch that desire to have that result so fast and say, I want to have fun. I want to have an amazing time discovering this process. I want to build this house and have the best time learning about what I need to create this home, this nest for me, for my loved ones, for my family. I want to have the best time doing it. It takes us out of that rush and out of that pressure of making things happen so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's another good example. It's, okay, let's say, yeah. I mean, the great thing is, if you love the process and the journey and enjoy it, then also necessarily doesn't really matter so much how long it takes you to achieve the goal. I mean, it depends, of course. If you build a house, you eventually want to move in. It doesn't matter if it takes 2 years or 10 years. But at least you enjoy the journey.
And that's what's really funny. That what happened with us, for example, is I bought this house in a box. It basically was a project that you can have, they said, could have done in 3 months, for example. And I bought this house before I met Maxime. And I had this vision, this goal that I would build this house and the man would come magically into my life and we would live this happy life. And my goal was to have this house built fast. That's why I bought this project. And what I was missing was the joy in picking out the, you know, the really fine details like the light switches or the tiles or the fixtures. I was missing all those details of the journey of wanting to have fun building a house that's then my sanctuary, right? And what happened was when Maxime and I started this project, at first we were very frustrated because we wanted things to happen fast and we wanted, you know, the building team wasn't working out in the beginning and all these things weren't really aligning because we had this vision on the end goal of having the house done that we can move into. We weren't even making decisions to customize the house and make it even more beautiful or spacious. We were just so focused on getting it done. But then what happened when we actually started enjoying the process, enjoying the building, finding our love and our magic in the creation project, Maxime started to become the architect of the house and change things and get really inspired. It changed the whole building process for us and made the journey so much more exciting than the goal. And then it seemed like moving into the house was happening so fast.
I guess sometimes it's also a good question to ask yourself how you can make the journey more fun. Mm-hmm. I understand many goals, especially the bigger ones, they can have challenges, and that's fine. And it's not to say that you should don't do goals that, you know, where you don't love everything you do for them. I understand, you know, sometimes things are challenging. Sometimes goals include things that you may not like so much. And you may sometimes be able to get help and let other people do it, but sometimes not, and it's fine. So here we pretty much had all the challenges you can imagine. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. Many of them when you build in the jungle. Mm-hmm. And it's totally fine, but that can get frustrating. And it's at some point I said, well, we get to build our house, which is such a blessing. I mean, I always dreamed about that, you know, to live somewhere, live in a house that I owned. You know, I didn't grow up like that. So I always rented something, and having your own land and your own house, that was such a big dream. And I said, wow, I felt frustrated, and I felt sometimes, yeah, not really happy doing this. And I thought, wow, it shouldn't feel like this. It should feel awesome. I should be grateful. I should be happy. I should really enjoy it. And so I said, okay, it's got to change. It doesn't make sense to do this and keep going like that without really enjoying it. So we made some changes, starting mental changes and finding joy in the details and accepting. I think it all starts with accepting that things can be changing, accepting that it might take longer, letting go of any time. At the beginning, it was like, hey, it's supposed to be done this and this month. Okay, it's supposed to be done this and this month. And then we said, okay, let's just not make any estimates anymore. It doesn't matter. It's okay. It's fine. We're not in a rush anyway. Let's just take it as it comes and focus on finding a good rhythm, enjoying the process, having fun, and going with it.
Exactly. And that's what was so beautiful last night when we laid up here in our loft in ceremony last night. And I was staring at the little pieces of, it's called Caña Brava. It's almost like a bamboo, small bamboo, that's the lining of the inside of the roof. And we have this beautiful triangle A-frame geometric design. I'm staring at it and I was so grateful because if we had chosen this bamboo fabric kind of thing that the company gave us, it just wasn't as nice. And if we had just rushed and did everything that, you know, was in this original plan, this blueprint that we were given, kind of like an IKEA design, we would have missed this gorgeous wall, this gorgeous interior of the roof, the ceiling. And I'm so grateful to Maxime because he held this masculine anchor of trust that this and faith that this project was going to get done, even in my moments of being very wavering in that faith of God and source and universe. And yes.
Yes, I lifted my finger because I was daring to say something. This reminds me of another video I did.
Yes.
It sounds like I made so many videos, which is not true.
They're
three.
Really great.
I just made three videos, but just happened to coincidentally, this is not planned. Joking. I'm not making advertisement for my videos, although I do watch them. They're great.
I watched it too.
No, it's another video I did that probably 23 people watched so far, I think, is called The Surrender Experiment, because I read a book that's called The Surrender Experiment. Creative video title, I know. And this is about surrendering, as the name says, surprise. No, it's about experimenting how you deal with circumstances and changes and challenges in your life. And sometimes the easiest way is really to surrender. And that's also actually maybe can turn out to be even better than what you initially had in mind. Where we come back to the goals, better than your initial goal. Let's say the goal is to do this in this way. And then something happens where you cannot do this in this way. But then eventually you're going to do it in a much better way. And that's the same what happened to us here with the house too, I would say. Whereas we had a couple plans and then forced changes, quote unquote, forced us to find other solutions and be creative. And by now we changed quite a few things. And I agree with you to say that it's probably much better than before.
But,
and in the moment you're like, oh, damn, wow, we know. Oh, gosh, this is missing and these parts are missing. I need to find this and this takes longer and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, you sit here as you last night and you think, wow, actually this wasn't planned, but it's much more beautiful. It's a blessing. It's a blessing in disguise. So that's the surrender experiment in really short, is to surrender and let yourself be guided to possibly even better things.
And that's exactly why it is so important to get flexible with yourself and get flexible with being able to pivot, with feeling natural in pivoting with less resistance, right? And how do we do that? So for example, it's starting to be more gentle with yourself when you receive, you know, feedback from the universe or another person that might challenge your initial goal or your initial ego or your initial perspective. So for example, we lead couples retreats, and there's been moments where we have this itinerary planned and we have this programming, and the couple says, actually, this is what we're now going through, or we want, for example, there was a couples retreat that was here, and our goal was to help them get their relationship back together, to help them to find, it was getting out of our own heads of, this is what our goal usually on the retreat is that couples feel this intimacy and pleasure and romance, get out of our heads and say, actually, they just want to spend quality time with us. And that was amazing, to let go of the initial goal and say, okay, I'm going to be flexible to pivot. I'm going to be flexible to give from my full heart and soul what the feedback is that I'm receiving. I'm going to go in and pivot and get out of my own head. So that was a really beautiful way to surrender and say, let's give this gift of our presence in a different way than we've actually been doing before.
It's actually a good example, because they did a great job in pivoting themselves and still enjoying the experience without being so attached to their initial goal, what they thought should be their goal, but then just saying, okay, hey, you know what, different things happen, different circumstances. We're actually not there right now to really go for our initial goal. Let's just have a great time anyway. Shift the goal to just you know, have fun, connect, meet people, have great experiences, and let go of the goal and pivot, which was beautiful. I think another example is, you talked about at the beginning, a couple of minutes ago, for the masculine, us men, can be especially challenging to be more flexible with ourselves, mm-hmm. because we are like, you know, set with whatever we want to do and set in our mind, and allowing ourselves to be flexible with that is really powerful, and not take it as a defeat mm-hmm. when we pivot and don't do what we initially set out to do, or change our plans, which we can see as change the commitment, or, you know, the things we told ourselves we got to do, or this is the plan.
Yeah.
So just generally becoming more flexible in that sense. I think it's good. Yeah. And still finding the fine line of being super flaky with everything.
Right.
You know, it's really finding the fine line of still keeping track, keeping some goals, some guidelines, some commitments, and just reviewing them in a healthy way. Finding some way of tuning in with ourselves and reviewing our things that we do in our lives.
I have a great example of this. So,
okay, please.
Okay, so back over a year ago, Maxime and I decided to become fruitarian because we have an amazing another friend of ours that have this miraculous story about the fruitarian lifestyle, which is an amazing it's an amazing gift to yourself if you ever try it. And
so now everyone's thinking we are really weird.
I know. So we told you we'd be weird.
Fruitarian?
So fruitarian, you eat only fruit, but you can also eat greens, minimal nuts and seeds and fats. You can eat avocados, you can eat cucumbers, tomatoes, etc. But you don't eat really root vegetables, nothing really cooked.
It's like raw vegan and mainly fruit-based.
And it's really easy if you live in some place like Costa Rica or Bali or Hawaii. It's really hard when you travel to Germany. Yeah, when you're traveling to cold environments, there's only things like apples, bananas, and dried things like apricots and dates, it's not as nourishing. However, we did try it, and do you want to explain what happened?
Well, I think that's another good example for the feminine versus masculine. Not that it always has to be that, but I think they're just tendencies, and also personal characteristics. You know, if I do something, I'm super committed to it. I do my research. I'm Virgo, by the way. I love to know things and research things and plan things.
He weighed every single meal.
No, but that's the later part of the story, okay, which is also interesting. But, you know, when I find out some things are not working, I want to find out why. And I like to know stuff, and data helps sometimes, information helps to know. But that's another part of the story. So just going back to when I do start something, I'm super committed and I want to try. I go all in, especially concepts like diet-wise, fruitarian. I think it's really important that you just do it all in or nothing, because otherwise you can mess up stuff. You know, it makes sense to go ping pong back and forth and then your body will never be up to your chest. So I was all in. I kept doing it for quite a while. You started much earlier already to try different things and didn't take it as, you know, to like 100% or whatever, which is interesting.
I was like 80-20. I was in the way. Yeah, you know, I liked my extra avocado.
So what was your point of the whole example?
The point of the example was being flexible to pivot and allowing yourself, okay, this is my goal. And you did it for a year. I believe we celebrated your fruitarian anniversary after a year. And then we realized we were traveling to Germany.
Both of us. But in that year, we traveling already, we changed a little bit, but overall, we kept doing it for quite a while. And I had that belief that, okay, this is like a thing, this is like a concept that works because this is the plan. And when you divert from a plan, it doesn't work anymore. Maybe it's not good for your body. But long story short, at some point, we started making it our own way.
Listening to our body, eating intuitively, and giving ourselves permission to stray a little bit from that initial goal of my life is going to be fruitarian for, I don't know if we said forever, but we pretty much committed deep in.
It's also these damn labels.
I know, the labels that can be a whole nother challenging, you know, a concept that we can go into in another episode.
It's cool because I always told people, technically, I'm not a vegan because I eat honey. And if you like hardcore vegan, they're like, honey is an animal product made from bees. So I always did it as a joke because I don't like labels and I don't think it's necessarily a good idea. Although I understand that we humans, we are strange beings, which is not a secret anymore, but we just love different things. For example, we love to be able to identify us with something and be part of something.
We'd meet fruitarian people and be really excited. Like, I'm this too.
Well, you are too. And we are the whole group of the... Okay, so I think the learning would be to find... I think it's great to start following plans because they're made by people who experience things. They thought things through. They did some whatever research. So it's a good start, and consciously doing that, seeing how it works for you, and then being encouraged to find out your own way in this and diverge from it, make it your own. That's why you don't need labels. Just try and see what works for you. Everyone is different. We are different. Like each of us, we are different too. We had to find our way in this too. And I had to learn that, okay, it looks different for her than for me. And even though I'm so disciplined, she doesn't need to be. We have different natures, right?
That was really beautiful. When you were able to let go of that judgment of that I had to be a little bit different with my body, it was a big relief, right? Like it just felt, comfortable to be able to say, okay, I need to eat a little bit more of this. Or I would try, you know, eating different foods and experimenting with my body. And because I think a lot of us humans become very, as Maxime was saying, very rigid with our goals and our commitments. And when we give each other the permission and ourselves the permission, you don't need to give it to each other, but when you give yourself the permission to be more flexible, I remember being in a grocery store with Maxime and he wanted to, what was it that you wanted to get? It was like coconut yogurt or something. And just saying like, of course, I mean, it's something so little as an example, but there's these moments where just seeing the other being in such devotion to change and flexibility that we realize we don't need to be so rigid to these goals. Who's holding us to this? Only ourselves.
I think that also, I used to be very rigid, and I think that prevents ourselves, that's prevented me from making some experiences that are then helpful for me to learn again. Because at some point I started to, if we continue with that example of the food and the diet, so I started, still consciously, I wouldn't do anything weird. We both wouldn't do anything weird, like eating burgers and fried stuff. Right
now. Sorry for any of you who do eat burgers and fries. We're
it's
not.
Totally fine.
It's totally fine. It's just weird for us.
No judgment. No, it's true. But I would start experimenting again, or we both would do it, and then we would do what we did before, and then it would feel good, or maybe it would feel not good, and would know, okay, oh, I will not eat chips, you know, it just doesn't feel good for my body right now.
Oh.
And then we would stop. Maybe we you did some things, you repeated them over a couple times, and each time, even before, I told you, well, you know, last time, and you're like, oh no, this time is different,
trying it again.
It was just because, and then you did it again and the same result, and it took you a couple times to learn, which is, I think, human nature. Sometimes we have to repeat things and mistakes a couple times until we finally get it or accept it. But yeah, I think the notion is to allow each other, yes, and ourselves first, to be more flexible and
gentle with each other and ourselves, you know, to be like, okay, he's making a mistake again or she's making a mistake again, and that's okay. And that helps our relationship so much when we let go of those like super, super high expectations and standards for the other to be perfect.
Well, for me, and I kept trying to explain to you that I don't do it because I want to be mean or controlling. I just do it because I care. So when you tell me something, oh, last time, okay, this and this, doing this, eating this, whatever, didn't feel good to me, it wasn't good for me. And the next time I see you, you're about to do it again. And I tell you before, hey, you sweetie, you know, remember last time you told me you will never do it again? And then still allowing you to do it again. And I'll say, I do this because I care about you, not because I want to be controlling. You can do whatever you want. And I always said, you can do whatever I want. But
that's sexy, right? To hear that from your partner. Because the truth is, for everyone who's listening, is that he would see when I was in my radiance and when I'm, you know, my whole brand is around helping women become their most radiant selves. So when he'd see that I was, you know, thumping around the house, feeling really heavy and, you know, feeling super bloated and not able to be in my creative essence. And he would notice that. And because that's what divine union is, that's what partnership is that the person that you're with is a mirror to you and is actually only trying to help. I think sometimes it's the delivery of that message that the other may not articulated in that way right away that our human ego tends to get hurt. Though the point of union and relationship is to help each other see the most expansive and elevated version of themselves. So that's what was happening. And you know, it took a while for us to be able to communicate that in the right way with each other. And thankfully, we've gotten to that point where we're able to share with the other person these ways that we can, you know, be more true to ourselves, be more embodied, be better, be kinder to ourselves, be gentler. So,
yeah, I think no one likes to be told what to do or what not to do.
No.
We all know it from growing up as kids with our parents. So having a partner or a friend or anyone doing that again doesn't really help. But I think we are grown-ups now, and many things looking back, even from our parents, probably were just because they care and they actually want it good for us. And probably sometimes they were right. We just didn't want to admit it. And I think it's the same with ourselves. Sometimes we ourselves, we know what's best for us, and we know what we, quote unquote, should do right now. And we still do the opposite, which is fine. You know, eat that burger.
Yeah, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey of figuring things out. I mean, I think the essence of all of this that we're talking about is really getting down to enjoying the journey, enjoying the process of making a mistake or doing something that's not of your highest alignment. Because if you don't fall off the path and try the pivots and do all the things, then how are you going to find out what is truly meant for you? And you need contrast. We talk about that a lot ever since we met, that contrasts are actually the biggest way that you can see that you're on the right track when you do have things that are meant for you and do have things that are aligned for you.
Yeah. You know, one of those secrets?
What?
I'm not perfect.
Oh, that is the sexiest thing to hear my man say.
Yeah. I think it's a good reminder for every one of us.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's perfect, and
no.
It's good.
Well, the thing
that gives
is,
freedom.
So much freedom. The thing is, I think you thought I was this, when we started dating, I didn't really show any of my, you know, faulty sides so
who
much.
Who does that when you date?
No. Yeah, you really don't, right?
And who does that on Instagram?
No, I definitely didn't. I only
social
showed.
Media.
Well, actually, people are starting to do that more, and it helps us become more authentic.
I love it.
It's so sexy when you, without going into the dark hole of, you know, using Instagram as a venting channel that, you know, you get.
No, I think it's just more authenticity.
Yeah. That's a good goal to have, to keep being more and more vulnerable, more and more authentic, and more real. And that when we're in that place, we attract what's meant for us rather than putting a fake mirage out there, because then you're only getting what's actually attracted to that fake mirage of you know.
Oh, that ties it back to the beginning. I think the more you allow yourself to be your authentic true you, the easier it will be for you to also choose the most healthy goals for you and the most authentic goals, because it all goes back to your authenticity, who you really are, how you really want to live, how you truly want to feel every day, what is going to be nourishing for you, inspiring for you, fulfilling for you. And the more authentic you live every day, and I think that's also a practice, because due to upgrowing society, media, we get led away sometimes from living authentic to ourselves. And we see what others do, how society thinks people should live and what they should do. And then we strive for these things. So relearning to be more authentic and then living authentic, the easier it gets for us to choose the best, most aligned goals for us.
I love that. Can you give our listeners a couple of ways, like tangible ways of doing that in their daily lives? Anything that you've been doing? Because I know you have some practices that you know yourself pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, in terms of authentic, like living authentic with yourself.
Because I see you sometimes, you take a lot more time on your own than I've done in the past to get clear with yourself and who you are. I mean, as an artist, as a creative, as someone who really honors and takes that time and that space to get to know what you want, what you desire. Do you have any ways for people who aren't quite sure of what authenticity means and what their true essence is?
Yeah, this funnily is going to be another video. No, that's
everyone's got to subscribe. Maxi Marlowe's.
No plugs planned.
Okay, no plugs planned.
I have a different notepads and to-do lists that turned into note lists. And I had, so here in the area where we live, we have a man circle. So every week we meet a group of men and we talk about things. And sometimes we have exercises we do. And a couple of weeks ago, I was inspired. We had the topic of authenticity. And I wanted to make this video and I wrote it down. And so the common notion was that it's kind of challenging because we don't really know who we are in the first place. So how can we be authentic and live authentic when we don't even know who we really are? And it's such a journey to explore. And that's what I had too. Such a big journey of finding who I really am and also acknowledging that this might even change. And yeah, so that's a big challenge.
And so what are you doing?
What am I doing?
What are you doing?
I think, so I do take a lot of time for myself. I do take a lot of time to reflect. Reflect on experiences, reflect on things that I was doing. And journaling helps. I don't do it regularly. I did for a while and then I stopped. But I think for me it's more the moments of being with myself. Like when I'm in the bathroom, you know, brushing my teeth, in the shower, on a walk, in a car. And I just do take a lot of time to constantly reflect and feel what I feel and feel how I felt doing things. And then there are many different questions you can ask yourself to find out. Yeah, find out.
For me too, it really relates to the empty space. You were calling it floating when we talked about this together one time over smoothie bowls, I think it was. We talked about floating space, and Maxime, yeah, he does take a lot more time alone than I've tended to do in the past. More, I take more now ever since being with him because I've realized how important it is rather than always being a social butterfly and having my calendar filled with, you know, always seeing myself out of the eyes of other people. Because before I was learning who I was only through the eyes of other people, not sitting with myself. Breathwork has become such a big medicine for me because in those moments of floating, of empty space, whether I'm doing breathwork on land or aquatic breathwork in the water, I'm able to, through breath holds and through this complete surrender, I ask questions. I give myself the permission to have an empty space moment where I say, okay, in this moment, who am I? And I let myself be seen from the eyes of something greater than myself. I look down at my body. I visualize my body laying there on the ocean if I'm floating or on the land. And I get to see this mirror of who I am. And I ask for, you know, pieces of myself. Show me what I'm meant to see right now in this moment, or my path, or, you know, what gives me the most joy, what to do next. You know, I ask questions like, okay, what is the next thing I can focus on or release, you know, in terms of my work? You know, where is the direction that my ship is going into? Where am I meant to sail? And from that place of silence of the external world, or, you know, what others think that I should be doing, I come back to this essence.
So you could say one of the secrets could be just to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And to throw in some quotes here. First of all, I think the one quote would be, or one sentence is like, the quality of the question determines the quality of the answer. Mm-hmm. So asking good questions is really, really helpful because your mind will figure it out. When you have a great question, you will find the answer much easier than when you don't have a great question. And the other quote is that it's about life. It's like the question, something along the lines of the questions you ask determine the quality of your life. Mm-hmm. Something like that. I forgot the exact quote, but along the lines of that. So I think that really ties in very well to what you described and what I started putting into words. It's just that maybe for most of us, the secret is just starting to ask yourself questions. Mm-hmm. Because I think you can probably relate, like we are so used to get into this autopilot mode of life. Well, we don't even think about how we live, what we do. We don't even question the things. And this can go on for 1 year, for 5, for 10, for 20. And then suddenly you're like 70 and you're like, wow, okay, what happened? And then you talk to all these elderly people before they're in the last couple of years of their lives. And then they finally, because they have so much time and so much less distraction, they get to reflect and they get to remember. and they get to ask these questions. And I heard so many stories of people that actually talked to many of these old people and had meaningful conversations with them. And the common notion was that the biggest thing was regret. Regret of doing things. The biggest things they had, for many different examples. But I think that is such a great example of, yeah, they get to reflect and ask themselves questions and think about all these years and decades, and we don't in our normal lives. So do it before it's too late.
Yeah. That's something you've actually inspired me to do, because I grew up in a way that I wasn't asked those questions as much from my family. So I, throughout the years, never questioned. It was like, oh, I should be doing this because of XYZ, and I just do it and I don't even think, and that goes back to goals.
I mean, start in education. There's a whole different podcast, probably several, but start. The question is not necessarily, okay, so what do I want to do that makes me happy? What can I do that makes me happy for the next decades of my working life? The question is, what can I do that is economically relevant? What can I do that provides jobs? And all these questions, of course, they're important. At the same time, questionable if that should be the main question.
Right.
Should probably be the reverse. First question, you know, what makes you happy? And then, okay, what also, how can you bring value, and how can you have, it's a whole different, you know, thing. How can you find your job and earn money with that? But
yeah, it's the questioning daily of yourself and learning to ask yourself those questions, those most intimate questions, to know yourself. The more and more you ask yourself those questions, you'll actually be more embodied. So the person, for example, with the partner, your partner doesn't have to be the only one that's asking you questions. You have to do that and empower yourself. And that's something that I've learned within our relationship, is asking myself, what do I need to fulfill myself throughout the day, rather than waiting on him to provide whatever that is, knowing within myself what is it that my body needs in the day? What is it that is going to make me feel most radiant and alive? What is it that I really desire to create in my free time, right?
Yeah, and another really nice approach to this. So I had one of my first days where I was speaking in public. I organized a big event with a couple of friends in Berlin. It was all about personal development, and the name was One Story. It was related to the story of your life, like your journey. And so I did it like a short intro talk, and I started with the question, what if? Because I found out for myself in life, at some point I started asking these questions. So what if this would be possible? What if I could do this? What if I would do this? What if I would move to there? What if I would... So it's just, I think what we all used to is starting by what we know or think which is possible. But if we would start the opposite way of believing, okay, what if everything would be possible? Then we would ask a whole different question, maybe. Then we would ask all different kinds of other questions, because we wouldn't have these self-imposed limits. So maybe that's another cool advice. When you start, ask yourself more questions, start from a place of what if everything is possible.
Blank canvas.
And then you can always, of course, maybe not everything is possible, but then you can always find out later, you know, okay, is this really possible? Is this not? What is possible? What is possible right now? Maybe I can, let's say you want to move to a different country. Okay, maybe I can't do it right now, but maybe I can do it in a year. Like, start by, okay, what if there are no limits? What if everything is possible? And because that allows you to really get the most true answer. Mm-hmm. And then you can work from there and still see, okay, what is realistic, what feels good for you, what feels safe for you, where you end up. But that's just a nice approach that allows for more freedom in the first place, and maybe more answers, different answers that you otherwise
wouldn't
get.
Different answers. When you say, I allow myself to have a blank canvas, a view of a blank canvas in front of me, then if I didn't have XYZ, job, location, yeah. what may I do? And maybe some of those answers become direction, navigation places for you to start exploring more.
Yeah, letting go of all these self-imposed limits or beliefs or by other people, from your teachers, from your parents, from your friends, just letting go what all they think or believe or strive for, or society, or even your conscious, your analytical mind. Just allow yourself, for the fun of it, you know, just, okay, what if everything? And then you might be surprised that you find answers you wouldn't even think, and answers and ways you wouldn't even think is possible. And I can say that from my own experiences multiple times, that when I allowed these questions, that's what I was talking in this short talk, it was along the lines of, okay, what if I did it? What if I did it? And then I actually did it. And then I did this, and I did this. And this led me to this whole weird life journey.
Yeah, it's how you came to Puerto Viejo. You had a blank canvas.
Also, example,
you created a blank canvas to allow you now to live this life that's so much more aligned than the past.
Yeah, for example. Yeah. So I think this is a beautiful way of going back to the beginning of the podcast, of the goal setting, and then to asking questions, asking yourself more questions, allow to think more free, moving some of the limits just for the fun of it. Playing around, you know, like spinning around, like in your head, it's like, okay, just playing around and being a little weird and a little crazy.
A little weird, but not weird.
And then writing it all down and dreaming and doing that frequently, and then finding new ways and the little things and then the big things.
And surround yourself by people who, oh, this is a big one for me, is surround yourself by people who are aligned with that mentality as well. People who get that. Because if you are surrounded by people who have more limiting beliefs and who are more rigid in their thought systems, that will, you know, that might dim your ability to be so forward-thinking and creative. So to surround yourself by people who believe and think this way, because they will be the people that inspire you and empower you. And, you know, listening to this podcast, for example, might awaken something inside of you. So keep, you know, keep on this path if this is something that you are feeling the call to keep exploring this. We have many more episodes being there in the pipeline, and, you know, resources and retreats. So definitely stay connected with us. If this inspires you, please send us messages. We love to connect, and we love to guide and empower people who you might feel like the crayon, what do they call it? Like the colorful crayon or something, you know, having a support system, mentors, community who align with your essence is so important. And for me, for example, this was the game changer that enabled me to create a life like this.
This was a nice direct
plug
to keep. I was actually going to sneak in a very like gentle, just like, oh, keep listening to our podcast, just a joke. And then you went through this whole like 1 minute of telling why you should keep listening to our podcast, which is fine.
You know, it's up to you. However, I will say that we've got some really intimate episodes.
We asked yourself the question, what if I would listen to this podcast frequently?
Ooh, how would my life change?
And then in 5 years, you can write us all testimonials, and then because you live your dream life, and you say, wow, this podcast
changed my life. Well, also, yeah, we would love to hear from you on maybe what could inspire you, how we could support you. Or
Ask us questions.
Our Instagram is Pranamore Musica on Instagram. Pranamore, like Pranamor Music with an A at the end. You can find us there and send us a DM and, you know, open a conversation that's could spark a little more inspiration in your life. And even if you just want to say, hey, I love the episode.
Or you don't. It's fine.
If you don't, you probably wouldn't have just listened to this point. Yeah, you wouldn't have listened to this point, though.
No, we love feedback. And it's good to know. It's good to know. We just, like, talk about stuff.
And look into each other's eyes. I mean, I like this. Like,
we have fun.
This is sexy. I get to stare at my man for an hour. He's almost naked. And I get to look into his eyes. He's holding a microphone. It's actually a really good look.
We have fun, and at the same time, it would be super awesome if this could bring value to someone else as well bring value to you as a listener. So please share, please tell us yes, no, maybe, questions, anything you have in mind, your experience, your experiences, your learnings from your own life. Very welcome.
Okay, should we do one more slurp to say goodbye? More cacao left?
I drank all my cacao.
Okay,
but you can do the end slurp.
I'm going to do the end slurp. All right, everyone take a big deep breath in.
That was a nice slurp.
Oh, you could sigh it out. Okay, next time prepare some cacao and
drink with us. By the way, I do have a video.
Oh,
that is so funny.
One more plug.
It's like the fourth time or something. I do have a video on how to make cacao, how to make raw cacao, ceremonial cacao. This, however, is not on my account, is it all?
It's on the Pronomo YouTube account.
So, which we are also
We'll
building.
Put it in the show notes so you can find it.
The
you can,
show notes.
You can prepare your own sacred cup of cacao.
It always sounds very professional. Show notes, DM, all the stuff.
All the lingo.
Okay. Yeah, so what do we do at the end?
We're going to make love.
Say bye.
Yep, we're going to make love in the loft of our house. And yeah, this will be offline. So see you next time. And sending you lots of love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.